Good morning. It's Commissioner Dennis Frazier with my podcast for this week. Hope everyone's had a great summer so far. Fall is starting, and that's a really good thing. I'm waiting for the temperatures to cut down a little bit myself. It's a little hot out there, a little humid, but that's just the way it is. I want to talk about something first off that happened last Saturday, our 9/11 ceremony. And again, I'm recording this on Monday, and this won't come out until Sunday. So what I'm saying right now might not hold true when Sunday comes around. But anyway, go back to the 9/11 ceremony. I went to the ceremony. It was held at the Emergency Training Center in Westminster. It was a really good ceremony. It was very, very well done. And there were many other ceremonies all around the county, which was very nice. It's something that we should not forget about. It happened 20 years ago. Brings to mind to me as being a former teacher, no students in school right now in the K-12 schools were alive when this happened. No one was alive when this happened. So it all has to be taught. The disheartening thing is there's only 18 states in the country that require this in the curriculum. Other states probably teach it, other systems probably teach it, but it's not required. And I just think it should be in every history book right now, and then people should be teaching it in every state. But, you know, I don't like to mandate too many things, but I just think that that's very, very important. I also think back to 1961, 20 years after Pearl Harbor. I was in school, just entering school at that time, and people were talking about Pearl Harbor, and I'm thinking to myself, oh man, that was such a long time ago. That's history. That's ancient history. That's the Second World War. That's a long time ago. Now, if I'm looking back on 9/11, being my age now, it wasn't that long ago. But, you know, when you're a kid and you're in school, you're talking about something 20 years ago that happened before you were born. It's just history. That's why we have to, these ceremonies are very, very important to keep bringing up and having out there so people remember, pass it on to the next generation. And moving on, was at a Transit Advisory Council meeting, and I'm happy to say ridership is up in our mass transit system, which I think is a good thing. It's nowhere near where it was before COVID, but it is moving up steadily. You are required to wear a mask on mass transit. Also, we want to remind everyone, our mass transit system is our system. It transports people in Carroll County from one spot in Carroll County to another spot in Carroll County. We do not transport people outside the county. We do not bring people outside the county into the county with our transit system. And that's one reason why we run the transit system, so we have a say in what it does. And I think that's very, very important. But I would also like to say that the Transit Advisory Council meeting was a virtual meeting. It's kind of disappointed in the one before that, and we have a meeting every 2 months. The one before that was a in-person meeting. Just the in-person meetings are so much better. It just get a lot more done, a lot more talking between people. But it's going back to virtual because the big elephant in the room, COVID numbers, and they're going back up again. Hopefully they peaked and are coming back down, but I don't know for sure if that happens or not. So transit advisory, again, numbers are up. Routes are being adjusted because of numbers and so forth. But, you know, we're moving forward. As this pandemic hopefully winds its way down, we'll get back to the 30-minute wait times and so forth, because not all of the routes are 30-minute wait times anymore, because we had to cut back because, again, numbers are going up, but they're nowhere near where they were pre-pandemic. I was also at the Seniors on the Go Expo down at the Ag Center. Very well done. From what I heard, there's about 800 people there during the course of the entire day. Masks were required because it was inside. And they also had vaccine shots that were available if you wanted them, which was really good. I also used that occasion as I was giving my opening remarks to say it was like a town hall meeting. Because of COVID, I haven't had a town hall meeting in like 2 years. And I like to hear what people have to say and like to talk to people face to face, but I haven't been able to have one. So at the Seniors on the Go, one of my opening remarks, I said, you know, I'm here, you're here. If you want to come up and talk to me, have any concerns, please let me know what they are. I'd love to hear from the people, because if there's a problem out there and I don't know about it, I can't do too much. But if I know about the problem, at least I can look into it. Might not get the answer you want, but at least I can look into it that way. So Seniors on the Go went very well. A lot of exhibitors, properly spaced and so forth. So it went very, very well. And like I said, about 800 people were there, which was good. And they still had all the health screenings and everything else that they normally have. Another thing that I've done recently is I did the Say No to Dope Walk, which is a walk for people in recovery to say no to, you know, drugs, alcohol, that kind of thing. And it was very well attended. I couldn't tell you how many people were there, but as we're walking up and down Main Street, and you have to stay on the sidewalks, we like to try to keep it safe. I guess it was like 30 to 40 yards long of people walking, so it was pretty well attended. You know, anyone that's in recovery, and as everyone out there knows, my son is a recovering addict. So I have at least somewhat of an understanding of what people go through when they're in recovery. They need help. They need encouragement. So just some small part I can do by going on these walks and showing people that other people care, I'm all for it, because recovery is a tough road. It really is. And I'm very, very happy that the people that are taking those steps appreciate that. Next thing I would like to talk about is the number of students and staff that we have quarantined in Carroll County Public Schools. The latest numbers I saw, we have a little bit over 800 students and staff quarantined from Carroll County. If you look at Montgomery County, they have a little bit over 1,000 students and staff quarantined. So, you know, we're not first in here, but another number you have to look at is that Carroll County Public Schools only has a little bit over 25,000 students. Montgomery County Public Schools has over 165,000 students. They have over 6 times the amount of students that we have, and they're just slightly ahead of us on the number of students staying at home because of quarantine. I think one of the reasons for that is when we started off the school year, we did not have a mandatory mask requirement for our students. Therefore, anybody within 6 feet of someone that was showing symptoms and so forth had to be quarantined. If you had a mask on, it's within 3 feet. So, you know, it's just a way to cut down and keep people in school. We do have a mask mandate now. It was set by the state, and happy to say we're all following it and moving forward. So that's a great thing. I saw a latest email I saw from our health officer, and it said, it's not a quote because I had it with me, but then I left my other phone somewhere else. But it says, many more students this week that are in quarantine are showing symptoms of COVID and are testing positive for COVID. Last week it wasn't like that, but now I guess the tests and the symptoms are going up a little bit, which is not really a good thing. Hopefully now that everyone's got the mask on, the numbers will start coming down because I certainly don't want to see them go up. I don't want to see us moving backwards. I like to have in-person meetings. I don't like the virtual as much. It's not as good. The hybrid's another step forward, but in-person meetings are the way to go. And if we all get vaccinated and move forward, I think we can get there. I really do. I'm kind of worried about what's going to happen when it gets colder and everyone has to move indoors and do all this stuff, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully people will get vaccinated. Talking about that, I also have to bring up that you have a right, so far anyway, not to be vaccinated, and you have a right not to wear a mask. And that is your right. You don't have to do either one of those two things. But if you decide not to do either one of those two things, I would ask that you self-quarantine and self-isolate yourself. Because if you have COVID, and it may be asymptomatic, so you're not showing any symptoms at all, you don't even know you have it. But if you have it, you go around other people, you'll spread it. So while you have those rights not to wear a mask and not to be vaccinated, don't put the rest of us in jeopardy by coming around and possibly spreading COVID to us. And people would say, well, you're vaccinated. What are you worried about? No vaccine is 100% foolproof. There are breakthrough infections. It just happens. I prefer not to take those chances. If you want to exercise your rights, you're welcome to it. But please don't cause harm to the rest of us. I think public health takes priority. Kind of running out of time, and I'll stop right there. Until next time, it's Commissioner Dennis Frazier with my podcast. Have a great week.